This is interesting, and let's bounce it off Troy Rank, columnist from the Denver Post. He joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Troy, we're reacting to a mock draft. Don't know how rooted in reality it is, but if the Denver Broncos did go cornerback after having Pat Surtain and the year after trading up to select Riley Moss, 83rd overall, I know it would not sit well with a lot of Broncos country. Certainly not sitting well with Phil and I. How do you see it?
Yeah, I don't like it because of the fact you moved up from us because you whiffed on Michael Ojemudia. I mean, you can't keep drafting to fill one position because you keep missing year after year. Like, it just, I mean, I get the Quinton Mitchell kid, the kid from Toledo, amazing. He's fast. They need another corner. But at 12, I don't like it. I'd rather they trade back or stay at 12 and take an edge rusher, the kid from UCLA, Dallas Turner from Alabama, something a little more impactful. That's nothing against this kid, the kid from Toledo. It's just at value at 12, given the number of needs this team has on its roster, to take a cornerback after you traded up last year and George Payton stood in front of us and said, Riley Moss can be a starter in this league. What are we doing? Because Moss isn't going to start in front of Jaquan McMillan at nickel. His chance to play is going to be on the outside. So I don't like it. I don't like it. I'd be surprised with Sean Payton if they did that. I mean, I know the immediate reaction would be if they take a corner at 12, it's like, didn't they fire Vic Fangio? Like, what are we doing?
Troy, now you've been around the team for a while. You've been around Sean Payton a little bit this year. With that being said, do you think that we're going to move up in the draft? Are we going to stay the same at number 12? What is your thought process? What is Sean Payton thinking at this time?
I mean, it's going to be a little bit of read and react here. There's a very good chance his quarterbacks could go first four picks for the first time ever. I think he wants to move up. He understands that that's the quickest path to success is solving their quarterback issue. And he's had confidence this offseason they're going to do it. But again, the problem is Minnesota. They have a first, you know, they're 11th, and they have that 23rd first-round pick they got from Houston. It's a better package than what the Broncos can offer, frankly. And so for the Broncos, you'd have to move up to four. It's the Trey Lance deal of three ones and a three. And even then, I don't know that a team takes it. If they like this draft, they just take Minnesota. So I think they'd like to. So the question then becomes, how much do they like if, let's say, it goes Caleb Williams and then Jaden Daniels and it's Drake May goes third. Do they want to move up to four from J.J. McCarthy? I would not. I like J.J. I do. He's got upside, like baseball prospect, where you have this amazing upside because he just turned, 21? I'm not moving up to four with three first-rounders for him. They traded between picks and bodies, 10 players and picks, for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton.
Incredible.
To get 11
That's
wins
crazy.
For $124 million and Sean Payton at $18 million to go 8-9. Like, you can't keep trading away your drafts. It just doesn't work this way.
We're talking with Troy Rank, columnist from the Denver Post, and he joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Do you think, is there a chance, okay, that this was just literally a miscalculation from Sean Payton 2 months ago, thinking that J.J. McCarthy could be there at 12? There was no one really seeing him 2 months ago going in the top five, and therefore they did not address the position in free agency, and now they might be stuck with grabbing a positional player because they don't love Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., and a corner could be like in play, not because it was their intention, but because it was a miscalculation.
I don't believe that, because I will say this about J.J. McCarthy. I talked to Jake Budd about him extensively, and Jake works for the Big Ten Network, obviously played for the Broncos. He knows McCarthy. My point is this. People back there, scouts were way higher, people and teams were way higher on J.J. McCarthy than us in the media. The juxtaposition was jarring. I mean, I saw a guy that was like, man, that looked like a late first, early second,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's top 10, top five. But scouts have always been on McCarthy, so I don't think it would be a miscalculation on him. The question then becomes, I'm sure there's one guy in that top four he really wants. I don't know who that is. Let's say, for argument's sake, it's Jaden Daniels. And then there's between Nix and Penix, is there one of those he wants? So I think he feels semi-protected that, okay, it didn't fall the way we want. We're not moving up to four, But we can sit here at 12 and take Bo Nix or Penix, or we can trade back to 19 or 20, pick up a second-round pick, and then still take one of those guys. I don't know that Penix gets past the Raiders at 13 if they don't make a move to go get Jaden Daniels, but I don't think they're surprised. The issue for me becomes, are you comfortable taking Bo Nix, let's, for hypothetical, at 12? I like Nix. He ran a real college-y offense, a lot of quick hitters. Most of his completions are, you know, slants. And I can't unsee what he did at Auburn, me personally, having watched a lot of SEC. But if he's your guy at 12, there's really, you don't have to argue value. He's just, we need this guy. The ceiling is a little low for me at 12. I don't want a starter at 12. I want somebody that in 3 years is one of the top 15 at their position.
Yeah.
I don't see that from Knicks right now, but I'm not a scout. I'm not in their rooms. If they do, then they're protected, Zach, because they don't get one of the four. They don't care because they've always had their eye, hypothetically, on Bo Nix.
Troy, there are ways to move up in the draft. There's are ways to get more draft capital. We've actually discussed a conversation with maybe possibly trading Pat Surtain, and a lot of people do not like to hear that. All right, of us trading Pat Surtain away for some draft capital, maybe a first, another first-round pick to help us move up. What's your take on that? Do you think that there is a possibility at all, a scenario at all, where we could trade Pat Surtain during the draft?
I don't see it. Yeah, I don't see it. I understand why you would do it, because he is their best player.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any argument about that, given his skill set, his age. You're going to have to pay him. That's coming up. But yeah, the question you asked of Pat Surtain, and I know you guys ask it on the show, is like, who's going to be here when they get good? Mm-hmm. Pat Surtain would be one of those guys. Like, you, if, and the, honestly, the market for cornerbacks isn't great. Everyone says you get the Jalen Ramsey deal. That was a desperate, desperate team that overpaid. I don't think you'd get the haul back for Pat Surtain, people are thinking. And again, if you're trading Pat Surtain, it's usually to a good team. So you're like, oh, we're going to get a first. Who's first? You know, someone in the 20s? Like, that's like, the, you're going to get the 28th pick and two-thirds or a second. I mean, like, you have to understand that if you're trading Surtain, it's typically to a team that feels like they're close. Is that a great pick? Usually it's not. So I don't see a scenario where they deal Surtain. I do understand the thinking, like, everything has to be on the table as you go through this transition,
right,
whether you call it rebuild, reboot, whatever. You have to be open to a lot of things. But with Surtain, if you ask the question, who's going to be around when they win, he should be on the team when they start winning again, whether that's in 2 years, 3 years, whenever that is, because he's so young and he's so good.
Troy, big boy game tonight at Ball Arena. Nuggets, Timberwolves, number one seed hanging in the balance against a team that I would call absolutely a rival of the Nuggets. How do you see this thing playing out?
Well, because they're at home, you like it. I mean, Jamal Murray looks like he's back. The seven games off, he clearly, between the whatever, the knee, the ankle, he looks like the old Jamal. I mean, he's the difference for me. I've been at a couple of games at Ball without him in the lineup, and man, their second team, when he's not there to give them, like, caffeinate them, they don't score when you look at their second unit. And so he's just kind of the secret sauce. Jokic, the guy, he's going to win MVP. He's a one of one in terms of Denver athletes. But the guy that makes them special is how Murray fits with Jokic, especially late in games. As you know, Zach, from your podcast, they just start playing the two-man game, and there's so much, there's no panic between those two, especially from Jokic, but there's just a feeling if it's close late, when those two are on the floor, they're going to win. And I think they'll win at home. They've been saying all along, you know, the seed, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Well, it kind of does now, because you still kind of, you control your destiny and you're at home. I mean, it can still work if you don't get it, but I'd be surprised if they don't play well and win tonight.
Troy, the Hart Trophy, Nathan MacKinnon. What are you thinking, man? Is it his for sure now?
Well, not for sure, but man, I mean, it felt like he won it last night, right, with the Mac trick?
Yeah.
I mean, he was comparable to Wayne Gretzky for a point streak at home to start the season and midway through the season. He's had his best season. They're one of the best teams. He hasn't won it. He's been close. You got the guy from Tampa Bay. You've got McDavid. You've got Austin Matthews. But, I mean, just for me, I think it's with Kucherov. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. It's between those two. And it just looks like it's going to be close. It's not Jokic. Jokic is going to win. But with Mac, it feels like his year. And last night was one of those games. It's like you have a Heisman moment in college football.
Yes.
It felt like his moment last night to remind national audience of, because that game was on ESPN,
right.
And he was doing things like he is an absolute bull on the ice, and he's also, he might be the fastest guy. Like, there's a combination of skill there that we take for granted, and I watched him go from, 12 miles per hour to 25 miles per hour in the span of, 70 feet, and you look at his size and his skills. So I think last night was his MVP moment. I tweeted that. I'm not a hockey voter. I don't claim to be a hockey guy. I just, in following it the last 6 weeks, it feels like he won it last night.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. I think it's done. If you want to bet him right now, and oftentimes that market is a reflection of the final results here in a couple of weeks, Troy, you have to bet $450 to win 100 at this point with just, three or four games left in the season. So I think it's a wrap, and I think we're going to have double MVPs in Denver for the second time ever on the NBA and NHL side. Hasn't been done since Magic Johnson and Wayne Gretzky. I know those names ring out. They are like gods of their game, and I think we're going to have that here in Denver, which is just, it's so cool. It's so rare. And then there's this wart in Denver sports. And it's the Colorado Rockies, and this is where we'll finish. I know baseball is near and dear to you and has played a big role just in your life. And I'm curious what you think of the attendance. If folks haven't heard today, the lowest attended game, non-pandemic restricted, in 10 years. And they lost again, Troy.
Yeah, I watched a good chunk of that game. I mean, their bullpen, Lawrence, was awful at the end. Walked two guys. Both those runs end up scoring. The problem with the Rockies right now, why people, I mean, we've talked about this with the Broncos for years. It's just, you can be bad, you can be boring, you can't be bad and boring. And they strike out a ton, and they don't hit for power. And they have trouble holding leads. And that's unfortunate because they don't have a lot of them. And when they get them, they have trouble. So they have all the hallmarks of a bad baseball team. When they pitch, they don't hit. When they hit, they don't pitch.
Right.
And then when they do everything right, they blow it at the end. And the issue is, on the bad Rockies teams I cover, there was an entertainment value to it because they hit home runs. They still won at home. They'd win 40 to 45 games at home because of their power. Well, now they strike out as much as anybody, but they don't have the power behind it. And so that's the issue, and I think that's what the attendance, you're going to see a reflection of that, especially when they're not playing the Cubs or Braves or an interleague opponent that's unique to the market. You're going to see that. This is the growing pains of it. And again, if you're a draft and development team, at some point you have to draft and develop better. Their best drafted prospect in recent memory is Brandon Rogers. Brandon Rogers, that was 2015, guys.
Right.
Like, you can't keep saying you're a draft and development team. Well, where are they in the lineup? Don't tell me Britton Doyle. He had 203 last year. Like, you have to be better if that's your skill. And where are all these young pitchers? Brian Feltner, you got one. You know what I mean? Like, so if you're going to be draft and development, you got to have waves of them. If you want to see what it looks like, you watch the Rays, you watch the Orioles,
right.
You watch those teams.
Right.
And then they turn around and trade guys because they have so many of them to then win at the big league level. Rockies are not developing and they're not drafting well enough. They're doing much better in Latin America. They're doing a really good job in Latin America. But until they start drafting and developing better through the American players in the draft, I don't know how they get out of this sinkhole.
Oh, man, what a way to finish. We'll leave it right there, Mr. Troy Rank. Appreciate your time, as always, and hopefully we'll do this again next week.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, there he goes, Troy Rank, columnist, Denver Post.